Turn your Bibles to the book of Titus, and just want to read through this book. It's a good summary of operation and work in the church. Brother Titus had some tough things to deal with, but the admonition here is to the minister of the Lord, preachers, pastors, and to the church. And we just want to take a look at this and see what the Lord has for us in it. And pray the Lord will speak to us about it. Here, Titus chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Because that's where the way truth will take us. Here's the hope. In hope of eternal life, this is the looking forward. That truth and godliness, and we see the salvation there in verse number 1, the faith of God's elect, acknowledging the truth that happens in this life, godliness happening in this life, the looking forward in verse number 2 and hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, and we are thankful for that, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And so preaching, a definite part of the ministry, and the apostle says that is the case. And there's a calling in that. Preachers are called of the Lord to do his preaching and to preach his word. And it's not according to my will or another preacher's will or any man or woman's will, but what God says. God, our Savior. To Titus, the man that he's writing to, mine own son after the common faith, he was saved the same way. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then he goes on, that's the greeting in the letter, and he goes on to tell him the purpose that he is writing to him and to admonish him, exhort him to do the work that the apostle is assigned for him to do. That's the way it was in that day. The apostle Paul had ministers that were called under his ministry, and he would assign a work under the leadership of the Lord, of course. And so this preacher, this pastor, is called to do this work. Verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. There's some lack there, and so that's the work that he has. And ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. There's a need for preachers, a need for pastors there in Crete. And Titus has been sent to do that work, being a preacher, a pastor, minister himself. If any be blameless, qualifications, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. A lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. He's got things there character-wise that need to be in place. He's got to have good character. He's got to be in a good stand amongst those that he's going to minister to and witness to and preach to for his ministry to have any power. And so those things are there. And as we read this, is there a thing that was so in that day about a preacher, about a pastor, about a minister of the Lord? Is there a thing that was so in that day that's not so today? No, it's all the same, isn't it? That ministry and that work is the same. Times have changed. The way that we go about life, the buildings that we build, the things that we get around transportation-wise, the conveniences that we have, all those things change. But the work amongst the people and the work amongst the churches is the same. In verse number 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. That's a focus of this ministry is what the Word says, not what the philosophy of the world is, but holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, because he's going to teach it to others, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the doubters. That's what gainsayers are, doubters. There's a bunch of doubt in the world. There's a bunch of naysaying in the world. There's a bunch of gainsaying in the world. And the man of God, the preacher, a preacher, a pastor in this case, has got to be equipped to be able to take the Word of God and deal with events in life. That's the way that it is. That's the calling. That's the work that's there. Here's the challenge for Titus in Crete. It wasn't an easy place, for there are many unruly and vain talkers, vanity in their speech, and deceivers, those that are looking to deceive others, especially they of the circumcision, the Jews, looking to expound doctrine in other ways different than that is true, what's true of the Word of God, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. Why? To get paid, for filthy lucre's sake, for gain, for the gain. That's their goal, that's their purpose. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies." The inhabitants of Crete had that reputation. And so that was what he had to deal with. This witness is true. And so here's instruction that the apostle gives to the preacher, gives to the pastor, and to give to these other pastors. This witness is true. "Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Sometimes that's tough, but it needs to be done. Sometimes there is a sharp rebuke that has to be given. Why? For the betterment, for the adhering to the Lord, for the following of the Lord. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth, but we want to do things that turn to the truth." Now here's something that's a key to the receiving of that preaching. Here's something that's key and necessary to whether the gainsayer will be convinced, whether the doubter will not doubt anymore, whether those that have gone after fables and I think that the Jewish fables have to do with the Jewish custom, Jewish superstition, things like that. The Romans, the Grecians, they had all kinds of things like that too. Not giving heed to those things, but here's the key. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But of them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. There's going to be those that have a pure mind that will be able to receive the truth of God's word. The tillage of the Lord, if you will, they will be able to receive instruction from the Lord, from the scripture, from the preacher that's going to take that message to them, and they will be able to receive it because they have the Spirit of God within them. They've been made pure by the Lord. We don't make ourselves pure at all, do we? The salvation by the Lord makes us pure. He's the one that gives us that Spirit within. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, as they are in their sins, they do not believe, is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Just can't get it. Just can't get what that guy's talking about. Just can't get what that fellow's preaching about. Here's something that is very dangerous. They profess they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. They're in a sad shape, that those that continue to doubt, but that is the work that's been given to the brother to go and do there in Crete. And here's more instruction. Verse chapter 2, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine," solid doctrine, solid, rock solid, like Jesus Christ is rock solid, "that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, self-controlled, sound in faith, in charity, in patience." They know the Word of God. They're able to pass on the Word of God, and it affects their lives in every way. It affects everything they do. "The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness," not unholiness, but holiness, "but not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." Why? As Titus has been given it to do, pass it on, pass it on, pass it on. "That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Yes, they need to be goody two shoes, as the world would say, because the word of God is standing there, and if they don't do those things and follow those things and obey those things, the word of God for which they say they stand will be blasphemed. It'll be maligned by the world. "Young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded, to really understand the big picture of the Lord, in all things showing thyself," for Titus, "a pattern of good works," following the Lord, wanting to serve Him, wanting to eschew evil, wanting to stay away from sin, continually looking for sin in one's life and putting that out, our contact with the world, that it would be representative of Christ. And all things showing thyself a pattern, this is going to be something that's going to get in place and stay in place. It's going to be predictable. It's going to be seen by the world. A pattern of good works and doctrines showing uncorruptness in doctrine. In the teaching of the Word of God, not corruptness, but uncorruptness. That when they say, you know, Titus, he follows what that book says. Uncorruptness, that's what's known. Gravity, that it is very serious. Sincerity, yeah, we want the sinner to be saved. We want the child of God to follow the Lord. Sound speech, solid speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. That's what he says. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and please them well in all things, not answering again. Yeah, even a servant or a slave, don't talk back to your master, but do your station, do your work. That's hard for us to even imagine. The closest thing that we have today is the jobs that we do, the work that we do. And that's what the testimony is to us. Be obedient to your masters and please them well in all things. Not talking back, not stealing, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. We do the work for our employer like we'd be doing it for ourselves if it was our business. That's how we're to work as the Lord's people. That it was this thing I'm going to do. I'm not going to do it schlock. You know what the schlock is? It's kind of slipshod, right? I'm not going to do it slipshod because I want to treat it like it belongs to me. That's what a preacher and a pastor needs to do. Not that it belongs to him, but the care of something that you own is going to be to the greatest care that you can exhibit. It's always easy to do less with somebody else's, isn't it? But that which is our own, we want to do well with. And that's a part of stewardship that the Lord gives us in those things he gives us in our homes and our families, even in the church. But he says here, do it like it's yours, with all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. That when the teaching, the doctrine, that, you know what, that guy, he doesn't have a bad attitude. He has a good attitude, even when things don't go right, when things don't go his way. He's always claiming what God will do for him, what God will stand up for him, what God will fight for him. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, yeah, saying no to ungodliness. If it's ungodly, we say no to it. If it's worldly lust, we say no to it. That we should live soberly, that we really understand the big picture of God and not my own little covetous world, but that I understand things the way God looks at it. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, we should live righteously, that we should live godly, like God, right now, in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope, looking forward to the coming of the Lord, that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, a reminder, the songs that Brother Nicky picked out tonight, talking about Jesus, right? Talking about the coming of the Lord, talking about his sacrifice, talking about what he's done for us. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And we need to be in pursuit of that now, amen? He's redeemed us from all iniquity, and we need to be getting further from iniquity if we can, if you understand what I'm saying. He saved our souls. He's redeemed us. And then as we live waiting on him, we need to get away from any iniquity that we get close to now. Amen. Any iniquity that comes along. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Yeah, I got news for you. If you're following the Lord, you're going to stand out. You can't help it. It's just that way. If you're following the Lord, you're going to be peculiar. You're going to be different. You're going to stand out in the world. People that are in the world, it's like world, child of God, world. The child of God's going to stand out, going to be a peculiar people. It's just going to be that way. If we're not too peculiar, then we need to evaluate. What is it that we have? Zealous of good works. Having a zeal and a desire to do good, according to what God says. These things speak. Titus, tell it over and over again. And exhort. Yeah, and rebuke with all authority. It's the word of God. It's what God says. Tell it, Titus. Tell it over and over again. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject, chapter 3, verse 1, to principalities and to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also, here's our state where we were admonished to do a thing there that we knew nothing about before, but that's what we need to be subject to principalities and powers, to the government, to obey magistrates. Yeah, even if the law, we don't like it, if it's not contrary to the word of God, we need to obey it and smile. And in our society, we have an opportunity and a blessing in our government that we have a route and a tack that we can take to maybe even kind of to try to change the law. We have that. It's not wrong to use that in a right way. But otherwise, if it's the law, abide by it. Abide by it. And do it with a good spirit. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Speak evil of no man, to be not a fighter, but be gentle, showing all meekness to all. Now the thing is, he's told him to be gentle, but then he's told him to rebuke too. There's a balance in there. Back in chapter 2, he says back here in verse number 10, there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, the Jews that didn't believe, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. I mean, there's a balance in there, and it says in verse 13, to rebuke them sharply. But yet in chapter 3, it says to be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. It's not a thing of being mean. Meanness doesn't get the job done. But if it's not true, it needs to be met with the truth. If it's not true, it needs to be met with the truth. And then be willing to be available or be there to minister, to help, and to do whatever can be done. I mean, that's there. It's saying it to the same man in the same book, isn't it? So there's a balance. Not to be rebuking all the time, but to be exhorting sometimes, to rebuke sometimes, to be speaking other times, but to always be putting forth what God says. Verse 3 of chapter 3, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers desires, different lusts, desires, pleasures, living in malice, wanting to get back, envy. Talked to somebody about envy here recently and how jealousy and envy. Envy is talking about I don't have it and you've got it and I want to take it away from you. It's a more of a component of if I haven't got it and you've got it, I want to just take it away from you. Rather than take it away, I just want to wreck yours. Envy. Hateful and hating one another. That's the way we used to be. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, you know how that happened? He came to us and said, if you don't repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. That's the way the kindness was telling us the truth about our condition. The kindness was telling us the destination that we were going to go if we stayed in that condition, but showed us the solution and the answer to it, Jesus Christ. Amen? That kindness had some tough stuff that was said with it, didn't it? But it bore the truth. Because what's the end of it? The end of it is a warning and a blessing of salvation, isn't it? The salvation of the Lord. But we had to be warned about our condition and our terribleness and that. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, Him not giving me, not giving you and I what we deserved, mercy, but he held that back. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He sent his Spirit, didn't he? And he sent his Spirit, and he caused his good, holy word, that doctrine that is preached by the preacher, that doctrine that's preached by one of the Lord's pastors, that doctrine, the Spirit of God took it and made it make sense. Amen. Made it apply to us. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly. He's not stingy, is he? Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, as if I never sinned, justified, as if I never sinned, by his grace, we should be made not just forgiven, but made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. An heir with Jesus Christ, an heir of God. This is a faithful saying, and these things will I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works, do right, do right, do right till the stars fall, and do right some more. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions, strivings about the law, for they're unprofitable and empty. They're not going to go anywhere. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. If he won't take it by the preaching, by the teaching of the Word of God, if he just will not accept it, then move on. You make yourself available, but we can't make people believe, can we? We can't make people receive it, knowing that he that is such, if he rejects the word of the Lord, if he rejects this first and second admonition, he's subverted, he's turned around a different way, he's sinning, and he's condemned himself. And when I shall send Artemas to thee, Antiochus, be diligent to come unto me in Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Don't be unfruitful. If you're a child of God, bear fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. Bear fruit in everything. We have a thing come on us, have a thing that we're faced with, have a great strain maybe that we have upon us. We always need to bear what the fruit of the Spirit is in it. That's what we're to do. That's what we're called to. We're called to do an exceptional, impossible thing, but the power of God will allow us and cause us to be able to do it. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that lovest in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. And so you see here this note that's at the end of this epistle is written to Titus, ordained the first bishop of the Church of the Cretans from Nicopolis of Macedonia. So here Titus is sent there to work. He's a pastor of a church there, and he's going to set up and ordain other pastors.